Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY22 earnings conference call of Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishabh from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals Q2 and H1 FY22 earnings call. We have with us today Mr. Gaurav Mathur, Managing Director, Mr. Abhay Baijal, CFO, Mr. Rajveer Singh, Vice President, Legal and Company Secretary, Mr. Anuj Jain, Assistant Vice President, Finance, and Mr. Ashish Srivastava, AVP Marketing. Before we get started, I would like to point out that some statements made or discussed on the conference call today may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with the risks the company faces. Chambal Fertilisers and Chemicals does not undertake to update them. This statement in this regard is available for reference in the presentation. We will begin the call with opening remarks from Mr. Mathur. I would now like to invite Mr. Mathur to share his views. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishabh. Good day and a very warm welcome to all of you participating on this call. We are glad that the COVID scenario has eased a little and hopefully continues to improve as we head into this festive season. In the middle of all this, we hope that you and your families are all safe and taking all due precautions. The monsoon was normal in the country for the third consecutive year, with few states receiving above normal rainfall. The reservoir levels are being reported at almost the same levels as last year. With good soil moisture due to rains during the latter part of monsoon period and subsequent rainfall in October, prospect of rabi crops sowing appears encouraging. Moving on to our performance, we are happy with our performance during the quarter under review, especially considering the macro environment is quite challenging. On consolidated basis, revenue from operations for the quarter ended September 30th, 2021, stood at rupees 4,479 crores as against rupees 3,987 crores during the corresponding quarter last year, registering an increase of about 12%. EBITDA amounted to rupees 835 crores compared to rupees 811 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. Profit before tax stood at rupees 735 crores as against rupees 663 crores during the corresponding quarter last year, registering an increase of about 11%. If we look at performance of 6 months ended September 30, 2021, on a consolidated basis, revenue from operations stood at rupees 8,018 crores as against rupees 7,206 crores during the corresponding period last year, which is up by about 11%. EBITDA at rupees 1,491 crores compared to rupees 1,450 crores in the corresponding period of previous year. Profit before tax stood at rupees 1,287 crores as against rupees 1,123 crores in the corresponding period last year, which is up by about 15%. During the half year ended September 30th, the sales volume of urea, DAP and MOP were lower in comparison to the corresponding period last year. The supply constraints coupled with rapid increase in prices of P&K fertilizers have impacted the sales volumes of DAP and MOP. We were able to increase volume of P&K fertilizers and the performance in crop protection chemicals and micronutrients was also much better in comparison to the corresponding period last year. Spiraling prices and supply constraints pose a significant challenge for the phosphatic and potassic fertilizers in the industry. The high demand of fertilizers in Latin America and North America continued to push the prices of fertilizers in the international market. Over the quarter under review, international prices of DAP, MOP, and NPK fertilizers increased substantially. The restrictions on export of fertilizers from China have further impacted the supply volumes, causing continuous increases in prices of DAP and NPK fertilizers. The announcement of additional subsidy on DAP and NPK fertilizers by the Government of India has softened the impact of increase in prices of DAP and NPK fertilizers, but further increase in prices in international market is making the situation challenging once again. Considering the large size of our phosphatic business, we have developed reliable supply channels over the years, and we continuously evaluate options to secure the supplies as part of our long-term strategy. As far as growth is concerned, intense focus on crop protection chemicals and micronutrients have started yielding results, and we achieved substantial double-digit growth in our existing territory. With our geographical expansion, we expect to achieve better performance in crop protection chemicals, micronutrients, and NPK fertilizers. We are also evaluating options to monetize the excess ammonia available in our plants at Gade Farm and are progressing well to narrow down the suitable options. We are likely to reach a conclusion by end of this financial year on this. Lastly, our emphasis continues to be on enhancing our presence in crop protection chemicals and micronutrients, besides expanding the contribution of non-urea fertilizers in both existing and new geographies. With that, we would be happy to now take your questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to disconnect yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My only question is on the subsidy receivables. I noticed that it has gone up a bit and... Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead, Vivek.
Okay. The subsidy receivables have increased. Do you expect, given the sharp increase in raw material costs across the board, that the subsidy portion would worsen before it gets better, or is the government releasing it as they did last year? Thank you.
So, Vivek, the subsidy increase in two portions. One is on account of urea, and one is on account of DAP and NPK products. As far as DAP and NPK products are concerned, you would have noticed that the government has already made an increased allocation. So I guess that once the winter session comes, they would tend to clear that part. As far as the urea portion is concerned, this is part of the normal escalation, de-escalation process. And in the normal escalation, de-escalation process, this normally does take about 6 to 8 months to settle. So I would say that this is nothing out of the ordinary. I would expect most of these monies to be paid out as far as urea is concerned towards the end of the year. As far as the NPK is concerned, we are quite hopeful that once the government makes the allocation in the budget by way of some kind of subsidiary grant, we should see some movement on this by fourth quarter.
Excellent, sir, and happy Diwali to all of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vivek. Happy Diwali to you and your family too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pratik Tholiya from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, and sir, I must say congratulations on a good set of numbers considering the current industry dynamics. So my first question is just a continuation to the last one. Basically, since even gas prices have gone up, so there is a fair bit of increase in the subsidy. So you mentioned 6 to 8 months it will take for the subsidy to normalize. Was that correct?
Yeah, that is because the government recognizes the increases in the gas prices, but the cycle is little delayed because the administrative decision on part of the FICC, the Fertilizer Industry Coordination Committee. It is just nothing but bureaucratic lag effect, nothing else.
So would it be fair to assume that this year end, our subsidy outstanding should be much higher than what we have seen in the previous year?
I won't say that. I would say some part of it, normally we have a mechanism called ad hoc adjustment. So that could get clear. We are already pressing the government on that issue.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And so what would be your current gas prices?
15 dollars
per MMBTU. Okay.
This is the full price, provisional full price for the month of October.
It's on MCU basis.
Not MCU. Understood. And sir, just on the on your JV front, we have received a very healthy profits from the JV this time around, almost 80 odd crores for the quarter. So just wanted to get your thoughts on the way forward for this JV, something that even now phosphate asset prices are moving up, and it is really to our advantage to have presence or I have a venture with a company which is making this phosphate asset. So, and even one of the JV partners is Tata Chemicals, which does not have any need for phosphate asset anymore. So what is our thought process? Are we just going to be just selling the phosphate asset in the open market, or are we looking at using it internally? Can we expect the company to some sort of go for phosphatic production using this easily available phosphate asset for us?
Thank you, Prabhi, for that question. So, we continue to evaluate all possible options with our JV partners. And obviously, the entire phosphatic market, it's an international market, so there are many dynamics at play. So, and we have to take a long-term view. This year obviously has been a unique year given the overall demand-supply situation in the international phosphatic market. So at the end, it's a very good question that you ask, and we continue to evaluate possibilities looking at the future scenarios in the phosphoric acid and phosphatic area.
Okay, but sir, anything on the, are we, because you in your opening remarks also mentioned that we will be looking at non-urea fertilizers. So can something of this sort materialize in the coming few quarters or years maybe?
Sorry, could you repeat your question for me?
Would it be active deliberation at the management end? So, because you mentioned in your opening remarks that you are looking at enhancing your non-urea fertilizer business. So would this be a part of that, your strategy to go for a non-urea, phosphatic manufacturing business?
So, Prateek, as we have mentioned in our previous call also, we have now expanded our footprint into the new geographies, the five states of Maharashtra, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, Gujarat, and West Bengal, and those are substantial NPK markets. So, and obviously, and there is DAP, which is a strong market, about 70% of DAP is in our existing territory. So that's now, therefore, our whole non-urea fertilizer, segment takes a different perspective, and therefore from a security of supply perspective, growth perspective, we are exploring, like I mentioned in my opening remarks, potential options linked to our long-term strategy. that does not necessarily mean one thing or the other. It is an open field right now. And given the strategic nature of this, it will, you know, it will not, it's not something that we will rush into, but it will take due course of time.
Understood. Right, sir. Thanks so much. And I wish you and your entire team a very happy Diwali and all the best for the future.
Thank you, Prateek, and happy Diwali to you also.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Madhav Mada from Fidelity Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for your time. I just wanted to ask you on the capital allocation strategy. So I think, if I understand right, over the last couple of quarters, we've mentioned investments either in the ammonia downstream value chain or in the phosphatics value chain. So is it fair to say that the CapEx opportunities that we're evaluating are somewhere going to be in these two value chains, or it could be something beyond that as well?
So thanks, Madhav, and good afternoon to you also. Like I mentioned, we have said in the past that we are evaluating the ammonia downstream section, and you know, we are progressing well, like I said in my opening remarks, and we hope that within this financial year we should be able to narrow down to what exactly we want to do. As regards investment in the phosphatic section, again, I know that was a question which was asked earlier. So it's the same answer, that we continue to look at all possible options, and that is a bit more, much more complex scenario given the global nature of the phosphatics international business. So we will look at all possible options over there. It's too early to commit a capital investment or not or anything as of now. We will develop it over the next quarters.
So the ammonia part of it is something which is seems to be something which is more near term, whereas the phosphatic one could take a little bit longer. Is that a fair assumption to make?
I think that's a fair assumption, Madhav. And like I said, ammonia, we feel that we can do it. But when I say do it, we can come to some conclusion by the end of this financial year in all likelihood.
Okay, got it. And the second question was on basically our non-urea fertilizer business. Volumes obviously were a bit weak, and that was for the country at large. In the second half of this year, can we expect volumes to pick up, or it could, this year itself could be a bit weak because of the supply constraints?
So I think given the overall situation on non-urea fertilizers, the supply side is indeed constrained all over the world. And I think the key focus of the stakeholders in the fertilizer and agriculture industry, which is the government, the farmers, industry, is to ensure adequate quantity of fertilizer so the need of the farmer is met. Right? Now, clearly, given the challenges, the total volume in the country will be less compared to previous years, but as all the stakeholders are working together, including central government, state governments, industry, to ensure that the basic needs are met. But fundamentally, the volume is probably going to be less than last year for the entire industry and country as a whole.
And is there any outlook on by when we expect the situation to have some resolution? Like by Kharif next year, could we have some sort of easing? Is there any like outlook or view on that?
Mother, you know, the global situation is such that anybody who hazards a view on the outlook is likely to be proven wrong, right? So you know, we have to be very careful that and just monitor the situation and sort of take appropriate actions. I would not like to hazard a guess on how the situation will evolve over the coming months.
Understood. Great, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madhav.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Chitroda from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is about the extension of the previous participant question regarding the the outlook for the remaining of FY22 or probably early FY23. Obviously, as we have witnessed that volume pressure has been there because of the high import prices. But how do you see in terms of further subsidy support? Do you think that probably government will announce other measures to subsidy as they have done so far?
Very good question, Deepak. As we are not in the government, I'm afraid I can't answer that question. That only the government will be privy to the thought process. And we have seen in the past in May and as recent as October, the government has taken action, but we cannot say anything for the future. I'm sure the government has many considerations before they take such decisions. So, simple answer, it's not possible for us in Chambal to provide any view on the stand that the government will take.
So then, do you think that obviously compared to last year, probably will, not Chambal, but I think the entire industry will have some sort of a margin pressure compared to last year?
I think that is a fair assumption, because that's an industry-wide phenomena, and it's extremely unique here, which I believe last was seen about 10, 11 years ago, when again, there was a big challenge on phosphatic crisis. Yeah, so it's a fair assumption to make.
Sure. And so my second question is about the future strategy. Again, as you talk about extension or utilizing our excess ammonia production. That is the first, the area which we are exploring as of now, or, previously as we talk about in terms of E-acid exposure, basically expanding or setting up the plant there, the granulation plant there. So is there any thing on card, immediately, or, that is something we can look out after this ammonia strategy is, worked out?
Because I'll say the same thing like which I said to this question which was asked earlier, that it's too early to say. We continue to look at all possible options. It's a complex area which requires a lot of evaluation of what all could be done. So all options are on the table, and it's too early to say anything concrete at this stage.
Sure. And last question is on just a bookkeeping question, and especially if you can give you a breakup of urea for Gadepan one and two and Gadepan three, and in addition to that, if you can explain with the increase in gas prices beyond $15, how it works in terms of the mechanism.
So I can just tell you, as far as Gadepan 1 and 2 are concerned, the policy states that all of it is passed through anyways. So there is a fixed contribution which is given, which is called the fixed cost in common parlance. So whatever be the price, whether it is $15 or $30, that cost of gas is recognized. You are paid your normal energy norm. So you multiply the energy norm by the gas price, multiply by the dollar to rupee and so on, and that part gets passed through. As far as the Gadepan 3 is concerned, there is a slight twist. They say that beyond $14, the any possibility of an increase above the normal float price will not be recognized. So the only issue for us is that if there were any potential gain due to the very high international import parity price which currently exists, that will not be available should the gas price go above $14. But the floor price, which assures us the requisite return, continues to be available. So as far as we are concerned, it is only a potential possibility, which is does not exist if it is goes above $14. But otherwise, our return calculations and everything are based on the floor price, and that is assured irrespective of the gas price which exists. That is the policy.
Sure. So basically, in Gadepan 1 and 2, so incrementally, I think the increase in gas price will definitely going to support to some extent in terms of revenue. And in G3, at least, I mean, more or less, it will remain the same.
I couldn't get the second part. Could you repeat?
I'm saying for Gadepan 3, it is like not relevant much because anyways, we are going to get a kind of a floor price where our contribution will is more or less remain the same, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and sir, the volume number, if you can share.
I will ask Anuj to answer that question.
Yeah. We have sold total urea of 9.17 lakhs tons.
Plant-wise,
basically, Gadepan 1 and 2, we have sold 5.08 lakhs. And Gadepan 3, we have sold 4.08 lakhs.
Sure, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much and all the best and wish you happy Diwali to the entire team.
Thank you, Deepak.
Thank you, Deepak.
Happy Diwali to you also.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Tarang from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Tarang.
I've got three questions actually. What was the average pooled gas price for Q2?
It is on 13.49
per MMBTU on NCV basis and GCV basis.
GCV basis is 12.18.
So did you get that? It is $13.49 per MMBTU.
For the second quarter.
It is for second quarter actually.
Yes. On the crop protection business, if you could give us some flavor in terms of how big, what's the size that the business has achieved, what are the products that you're launching, and which particular category of pesticides are you targeting or crops that you're targeting?
Correct. We don't disclose our segment-wise results as such, but we are, like we mentioned, we are achieving good substantial double-digit growth, which we believe is significantly above the industry. As regards the product-related question, I'll request Ashish, who's our head of sales and marketing, to give you some flavor.
Yeah, Tarang, the product portfolio which we are adding is are majorly fungicides, where we have tied up with some companies for the gaps which existed in our portfolio. Also, we are strengthening our wheat weedicide portfolio where some new molecules have recently been introduced by MNC. So that loops have been closed. So these are the two segments we are exploring at.
Okay. What is the excess inventory? There will be ammonia inventory at the Gadepan plant currently, and what are the avenues for possible monetization?
So, Karan, we currently sell the extra ammonia that we produce. India is a net importer of ammonia. And given the global challenge on ammonia availability because of high gas prices, because of plants shutting down in some parts of the world, we are able to sell the entire ammonia that we produce at good prices. And therefore, we don't have any stock buildup as such. Whatever we produce excess, we are able to sell it.
Sure. And last, if you could give us a sense on what are the utilizations that the IMACID plant is running at currently?
Sorry, the which plant? IMACID plant?
Yes, yes.
IMACID plant is running at full capacity.
Full capacity.
That's right.
Perfect. That's it from me. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you, Tarang. Happy Diwali.
Happy Diwali.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhijit Akela from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my questions. Just wanted to understand the drivers behind this quarter's very impressive performance on the profits, despite the fact that the phosphate business was, almost about half in terms of volumes year on year. So, if you could share some insights into what helped us offset that pressure, and specifically, I was thinking in terms of mix shift towards the Gadepan 3 plant that seems to have happened, maybe 50,000-70,000 tons seem to have shifted from the older plants towards Gadepan 3. So maybe a mix shift seems to have helped in terms of the margins, plus maybe some of the IPP linkage for the urea given the high international prices. And also it seems like we've sold quite a lot of inventory out of, existing stocks. So maybe some benefit out of that as well. So if you could please just, clarify whether this thought process is fair and am I missing out on something else?
I think you've asked an all-encompassing question, Vijit. So you're not missing out on anything. So, yeah, so on urea, we've given the demand. We've sold the full quantities of production. In quarter one, we also had some shutdowns, etc. So that also impacted us. Your second part was on terms of the phosphatic non-urea fertilizer. And yes, the volumes were lower. And, that was, as you know, the subsidy announcements were made. So that helped to get back some of the margins, on the DAP side. And obviously the stock averaging that happens as a consequence of that. And we've also seen some contribution, like I've mentioned, from our agrochemicals and micronutrients business, right? So all those things have turned out. And obviously, in addition to that, with the government of India, consistently clearing the subsidies and the one-off clearance of the large subsidy outstanding at the back end of last year, the interest charges are substantially lower, as you would have seen from the results. And last but not least, given the strong situation on the phosphoric acid, we got a good contribution from our joint venture partners also. So I think that's the answer to all your questions of why this quarter's results are what they are.
Thank you so much. That's really helpful. And the second thing I just had was, on this ammonia project that we are considering, could you give us a sense of how much volume we sell, into the open market, merchant ammonia per year? That would be helpful.
See, we sell somewhere in the range of 40 to 60,000 tons per annum, right? And it depends on a year-to-year basis based on the demand-supply situation, the import, and so on and so forth, and the prices that prevail in the international market, etc. But overall, it's in the range of 40 to 60,000. Given this year's challenge on the imports and the high prices, we expect to sell on the higher side, let's say, closer to 60 than 40.
Understood. And this wouldn't have been significant this quarter, right? Ammonia sales in 2Q, because all our plants were running pretty much at 100% plus.
So the quantum of ammonia that we produce remains fairly consistent, the excess ammonia, right? We utilize all possible ammonia that we produce first to convert to urea. And that's obviously the top priority. We are a urea production facility. So, and then whatever extra ammonia remains, which is generated due to technical reasons, we are then able to sell that in the market. And that is a fairly consistent number on a daily basis.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you, Abhijit.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Falguni Datta from Jet 8 Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So I just have one question on our trading margins, that is DAP and NPK. Would it be possible to give just directionally, like, would our margins be 10 to 20% lower than the best quarter last year? Just to get a sense that in case they recover, how much more, how much improvement from here on we can have?
Thanks, Falguni. You ask a very difficult question because, you know, given the overall situation, it's extremely difficult for us to predict.
No, whatever it is, as of whatever we did in Q2, I mean, would they have been in what range lower compared to our best quarter last year?
Falguni, it's actually, even if I can tell you honestly that even internally I don't try to work that out.
Okay, okay.
Because
okay.
There are too many variables in that, Falguni. Okay.
Okay.
One variable
okay, never
is
mind.
The price at which we procure, the other variable is the subsidy, the other variable is the MRP. So there are many variables right now.
Okay.
And our top priority right now is to get material so that the farmers' need for the Rabi sowing can be met. As you know, we are working closely in the industry with the government.
And so how difficult is it to get, how difficult is the availability now? I mean, has it improved a tad or is it the same?
Well, availability is a very, very big challenge. And in fact,
okay.
It has worsened from quarter two to quarter three because
okay.
Recently China also put in export restrictions. So,
okay.
But we did manage to get some material before China has put in the export restrictions. But availability remains a significant challenge, both from a demand and supply perspective.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. All the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Namaskar, sir. Sir, with these inflationary trends and non-availability, with the spike in the raw material price and the gases, so the five plants of urea which were on revamp by the government of India, do you think that would also take a backseat or those commissioning may happen and may ease out the situation? Because what the government was contemplating was that commissioning of these units will lead to a marked improvement in the lesser amount of urea to be imported going forward. So how will this math get affected because of the current situation?
So actually, because, you know, urea prices globally are now touching almost $900, right? So from that perspective, the decision of the government to install more urea capacity in India is certainly even more favorable than before, right? In spite of the gas price increase, because even at this gas price, the cost of indigenously produced urea will be substantially less than imported urea, okay? So there is no question that putting up those plants is a right step in Atmanirbhar Bharat and, you know, will help the situation going forward. These, as you can understand, are not tactical. These are big strategic investments which will play over and you know, support the country's urea requirements over decades.
But the pricing part, sir, as you told that even at these prices, even at these gas prices, what would be the indigenous cost of production for urea, sir, in any ballpark number? You are telling the
indigenous market that at these kind of prices, the cost of production would be in the range of $450, $480, right? And import price right now is $900 as per the latest tender documents that are available, right? But that's a situation right now. Going forward, this equation will keep changing based on gas prices and import prices. But fundamentally, the plants that are being put up, to the best of our knowledge, are efficient plants and should help in urea production, which would be possibly better than the import price.
And sir, what is the currently cost of production for people like us?
So we are also in that same ballpark.
418.
Yeah.
$480.
For Garepan 1 and 2, it will be slightly less. And for Garepan 3, it will be... Yeah, so Garepan 1 and 2 would be around $380 to $400. And Garepan Q3 would be slightly more because of the new investment policy 2012.
Okay. So with the lower production across all fertilizer maker people, so going forward, the inventory in the system will also get dried up. So how would we the next year looking up if all the producers of fertilizer lower down their production because of these factors, what would happen to the availability of fertilizer going down next year because the inventory gets dried up?
So are you asking about urea or the non-urea fertilizer?
Across the chain, sir. Across the chain. For we have seen in other people also guiding for lower numbers for other than urea going forward for the second half. And the reason they give is there's some ample inventory in the system. So once this inventory gets dried up, what would be the ecosystem looking like for the next year taking into account these factors?
So, to the best of our knowledge, urea production has not been substantially less or more. So, urea production is fairly steady. So, there should be no impact on urea. In the non-urea part of it, a large part of the NPK fertilizers, more than 90% is produced within India, and there the production has also been, to our understanding, equal, compared almost the same as previous years. Some challenges on DAP, but from a production perspective, it's not been very significantly lower. So the main challenge on fertilizers, which is the non, it has been on DAP, and that's because of the international situation. And like I said before, in answer to one of the questions asked earlier, that situation will remain dynamic. It is difficult to predict when any swing will happen in the international market. It depends. There is no issue on the production in terms of DAP globally. The challenge is more because there was a huge spike in demand in Brazil and North America. And nobody can right now say as to how that demand will play out over the coming months.
Okay. Thank you for the same, sir, and best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Saket.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rishan Jain from DSP Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, sir. So I have just one question. Given the kind of availability situation which we are seeing for DAP as well as for other NPKs, do you see any impact on the cropping area this year? Because I think in your opening remarks, you mentioned that the Rabi season is looking quite strong. So in that context, are you seeing any impact on the cropping area because of shortages of fertilizer?
I think will be best answered by Ashish, who can give you a much better idea.
Rishan, see, let's look at Kharif first. Kharif, there was no significant reduction in the crop acreages of any crop, barring some lower acreages reported in Bajra, the palm millet, because of the late rains in Rajasthan. As far as start of Rabi is concerned, mustard is already showing an upswing. The sowing is 20% higher over the corresponding period last year. And with the good winter rains and good reservoir levels, I don't foresee any shortfall in acreages of any crop as of now.
Okay. So, sir, your past data, situation like this, let's say 10 years, 11 years back when we saw similar situation, has there been any impact on the yield or on the acreage during those periods? Any thoughts?
Yeah, whenever there has been a crisis or non-availability of phosphatic fertilizers, the acreages have not gone down. Farmers have reduced lower dosages, and there was no significant changes in the yield. The significant changes in the yield comes when there is a non-usage of fertilizer over a period of time. That's what I understand. So I don't foresee any drop in yield as of now.
Okay, sir. That's very, very helpful. Thank you. That was the only question. All the best.
Thank you, Rishan.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up question from the line of Deepak Chitroda from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks once again, sir. First question is about, sir, on the trading dynamics. So as we have gradually trying increasing our NPK trading, compared to DAP. So, and of course, we are trying to expand, across India, especially in the southern part of India. So do you think that probably going forward, trading share between DAP, MOP and NPKs could be kind of, 50-50 going forward?
See, we have a very substantial DAP which has base which has been established over a long number of years, right? So, and the bulk of the DAP, approximately 70% of the DAP market, is in our existing territory. As regards NPK, it is roughly the reverse. The bulk of the NPK market is in the southern and western regions, right? So I think we are definitely looking to grow in the NPK area in those new geographies. But to suggest that we would in a very short term reach a 50-50% ratio would probably be optimistic, given the market dynamics and where what product is sold. But certainly we do want to, become much more significant players in the NPK area.
So do you think that SSP could be one product areas, where we can explore? I think we have explored that in the past. Do you think that is more viable now?
We do not believe that as Chambal Fertilizers, we would venture into SSP going forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And sir, second question is about our energy consumption. Have we reduced, further energy norms or, actual energy consumption for our older plants? And what is the status for energy consumption for our new plant, especially Gadepan 3, over the past, 1.5 years or so?
So let me start with Gadepan 3 first. We are able to operate the plant quite efficiently and have some energy gains over there. So that's Gadepan 3. With regard to Gadepan 1 and 2, we are again, we have energy efficiency better than the norms. So that continues. We are implementing energy improvement projects which have been sanctioned for Gadepan 1, which shall be implemented in the beginning of the next financial year. So that will happen. And as such, we do continue to continuously look at, this is part of operational excellence, the company continues to look at how we can improve the energy. So those schemes are being evaluated on an ongoing basis.
And lastly, if I can add more, what could be the ideal tax rate we can assume, in the second half or probably, going forward?
Sorry, tax rate?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand the question. I mean,
yes,
why would the
yes,
tax
sir.
Rate change?
No, I'm saying, we have seen, couple of, this input, this deferred tax credit which has been there in the H1. So, it is fair to assume should take around, 30-32% kind of a tax paid, which we have paid in the past, 1.5 years or so.
I request Abhay Vaidyal to answer.
I think there are two parts to it. One is current tax, one is deferred tax. And the deferred tax calculations normally follow year-end principles. There will true up plus or minus if there are any issues. It is also to some extent governed by the amount of dividend that we might get from MSET. So those are the two variables. Otherwise, the tax rate remains what it is. We are not in the revised 22% plus bracket. We continue to remain at the moment a MAT paying company, minimum alternate tax. And the balance, the difference comes by way of the deferred tax. And the deferred tax calculations can shift a little bit here and there based on the yearly truing up situation. So that is what it is. As far as the tax rate is concerned, I don't see much change between now and next quarter and so on.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, Vijay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Deepak.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Rishabh. So thanks, everyone, for your questions, and we appreciate your asking them. I hope, and I would like to close by wishing you a very, very happy Diwali and festive season. Sorry. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Chambal Fertilizers and Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.